1. November 2010. Carl had heard about the night's incident over the police radio on his way in from his house in Alreud. Under normal circumstances, nothing could interest him less than vice cases, but somehow this felt different. The owner of an escort service had been attacked with sulfuric acid in her flat on Enghavavai, leaving staff of the Rijkshospital Burns unit with a job on their hands. Now a call had gone out for witnesses, as yet without any luck. A band of dodgy-looking Lithuanians had already been brought in for questioning, but as the night hours passed, it had become clear that only one of the suspects could possibly be the perpetrator, and it was unlikely they would find out who. There was no evidence. On her admission to the hospital, the victim had declared she would be unable to identify her assailant, and now they were going to have to let the whole lot of them go. Hadn't he heard this before? On his way through the courtyard of Police HQ, he ran into Halmtorvitz Icicle, a.k.a. Brandur Isaksson from Station City, who was heading for the parking area. "Off to make life difficult for someone, I hope," Carl grunted in passing, whereupon the brainless oaf stopped as if it had been an invitation. "It's Buck's sister this time," Isaksson said coldly. Carl stared at him with bleary eyes. What the fuck was he talking about? "Tough shit," he replied. It was an all-purpose response, adequate for most situations. "You've heard about that acid attack over on Enghavavai, I take it. Not a pretty sight, I can tell you," Isaksson went on. "The doctors have been working on her all night. You know Börje Back pretty well, don't you?" Carl tossed his head back. Börje Back? Of course he knew Börje Back. The inspector from Department A, who had applied for leave, then opted for early retirement. That sanctimonious git. "We're about as much friends as you and I are," Carl blurted out. Isaksson nodded, his teeth clenched. It was true, if there was any fondness at all between them, it would fall apart at the flutter of a pair of butterfly wings. "What about Börje's sister, Esther? You wouldn't know her, I suppose," he asked. Carl stared over at the colonnade, along which Rose was now tripping with a handbag the size of a suitcase draped over her shoulder. What the hell was she planning to do? Spend her holidays at the office? He sensed Isaksson follow his gaze and tore himself away. "Never met the woman. Doesn't she run a brothel?" Carl replied. "Anyway, that'd be more your domain, so keep me out of it if you don't mind." The corners of Isaksson's mouth succumbed to gravity. "You might as well be prepared. Buck'll be here before you know it, sticking his oar in." Carl doubted it. Hadn't Buck chucked it all in because he hated his job and loathed Police HQ? "He'll be welcome," he answered, "as long as he stays away from me." Isaksson dragged his fingers through his early morning tousle of jet-black hair. "Yeah, well, you've got enough on your plate shagging her, haven't you?" He nodded in the direction of Rose as she vanished up the steps. Carl shook his head and carried on walking. Isaksson could take a running jump with all his crap. Shagging Rose. He'd rather join a monastery in Bratislava. "Just a minute, Carl," said the duty officer, as he passed the cage half a minute later. "That psychologist woman, Mona Ibsen, left this for you?" He thrust a grey envelope at Carl through the open door as though it were the highlight of his day. Carl stared at it, nonplussed. Maybe it was. The duty officer sat down again. "Assad was here at 4 this morning, so I heard. He sees to it he has plenty of time on his own. I'll say that for him. What's he up to down there anyway? Planning a terrorist strike?" He chortled to himself for a moment, then thought better of it when he saw Carl's piercing gaze. "Why don't you ask him yourself?" Carl said, recalling the case of the woman who had been arrested in the airport for merely uttering the word bomb, a slip-up of front-page dimensions. To his mind, what he just heard was a lot bloody worse. Even from the bottom step of the rotunda stairwell, he could tell this was one of Rose's better days. A heavy scent of cloves and jasmine assaulted his nostrils, reminding him of the old woman back in Österbrönderslev, who used to pinch the backsides of all the men who came to visit her. When Rose smelled like this, it gave him a headache, besides the one he always got on account of her usual grouching. Assad's theory was that she'd inherited the perfume, while others reckoned this kind of putrefying blend was still available in certain Indian shops that couldn't care.